Hello, it's Gillian Scally here from Irish Funds. Today we are bringing you our final episode in our series of recordings from the Irish Funds annual conference, which took place back in May of this year. For many people, this is the highlight from the annual conference, and there is a standing ovation from the audience upon conclusion of this segment. The title of this recording is Authentic Leadership and Gender Norms in Business. It's an interview with Caroline Farberger, who is a partner at Wells Street and an advocate and ambassador for diversity and inclusive leadership, and the questions are posed by Owen Motherway, an independent consultant. In this discussion, Caroline reflects on her experience transitioning from a male to a female whilst maintaining her role as a CEO in a financial services company. From her unique perspective, she explains the differences she has noticed between her treatment as a male CEO versus a female CEO, and how she now realises the privileges that come with being a male in a position of power. We hope you enjoy this insightful episode, and be sure to keep an eye out for more exciting content coming soon.
Good afternoon. It's a little bit like an Irish wedding. There's plenty of seats up the front if anybody wants to join us. My guest today is Caroline Farberger. Caroline, we have a phrase in Ireland which is, what's your story? And it's a rather pithy question in that it means, who are you? Where'd you come from? Where'd you go to school? What do your parents work at? Do you play hurling or football, soccer or rugby? Were your grandparents pro-treaty or anti-treaty? As a tea-drinking nation, is it Barry's tea or Lion's tea? So, Caroline, what's your story?
Well, thank you for that. Well, I grew up as a boy. That was like 55 years ago. I thought that something was a bit different in my mind about my affection for femininity. But back then, that was way before internet. And there were absolutely no role models who were non-conforming in any way. So I thought that the thing I had to do was to do the perfect male normative track. So that's what I did. I was good at school. I got dual university degrees in electrical engineering and in business administration. My first employer was a McKinsey company where I was a management consultant for 6 years. Started working with financial institutions, advising top banks and insurance companies back home in Sweden and in many other countries, joining the other guys in the financial community, a very macho, male-oriented crowd. And then I went on to a line management career in property and casualty insurance, joining the ranks of the Swedish arm of the insurer RSA. And I found myself as a CEO of a Swedish insurance company. So a very normative career.
And the tea, Barry's or Lion's? It's a critical question. In researching for our chat, right, I was looking for commonalities between the two of us, and I found three. So we're career-long financial service professionals. We're both married with three children.
Yes.
And we both recently celebrated the 40th anniversary of our 10th birthday. And as I approach that milestone, I'm sure like many others in the room, you do reflect on where you are, what you're working at, how has your family life worked out, and so forth. So, and we all do a few crazy things. I bought shirts that I'm not allowed to wear around my children. your reflection was a lot deeper and was a catalyst was your wife, actually, and drove you towards what you now call your authentic self. So take us from there.
Well, here you find me. There's actually a picture of this. Here you find me 5 years ago when I celebrated my 50th birthday. And I as a CEO of a Swedish insurance company, hugely successful, and I reflected, I probably fulfill every normative aspect you can think of a CEO in finance, right? First of all, unfortunately, being a man, then, the right shade of gray in my suit, the right amount of gray in my hair to project that wisdom and experience whenever I deliver my quarterly reports.
Hair is overrated.
wife, three children, stately home, nice company, car, respected in the business community, I was master of ceremonies at the local Freemason lodge. I mean, the package, in a way. But there was something I didn't have, and that was happiness. And finally, that thing about femininity caught up with me, and I realized that's part of the thing I'm missing to reach happiness. And I actually, thankfully, together with my wife, I started investigating that thing, and it ran much deeper than I thought. For a while, I thought I could confine it to maybe some weekend activity, but I realized it was all the way back to my gender identity, which was a huge thing.
Okay. Walk me through the chapter of transition and how that worked with your employer. Were they supportive, etc.?
Yeah, I realized that when I came to the conclusion, yes, I am a woman in my gender identity, I realized I just have to live as a woman because I couldn't live without being authentic to myself. At the same time, I couldn't do it undercover as a CEO. People would notice, to say the least. So I decided that a year from now on, I would come out as who I am, as Caroline. So it was like, you know, this super Gantt chart with the lots of parallel activities coming out to my friends and family was the most important one. After I came out to my employer, they were usually supportive and having, you know, complete communications package, you know, legal aspects, medical aspects, practical aspect, wardrobe aspects, until the day came. So, and since it broke, since it would be a huge thing, I did it as an overnight thing. There's actually a picture of this also.
Okay.
If I can switch to the pictures. Here's the picture to the left is how I left work as CEO of the insurance company on a Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. when I walked out of the office. The picture to the right is how I came back to the office the very next day as Caroline. And my executive team got a 1 week notice. My staff got 1 day notice. So it was talked about during that Friday in the office, I can assure you. and it was a new story in the leading Swedish business newspaper the very same day, which helped me along to help educate the business community that while being transgender is highly uncommon, it's just part of being normal. And it worked. I was hugely respected by everyone around me, and I got zero negative feedback. And so it was actually a fantastic story of just coming out as who I am.
When you think about that now, would you have hired Caroline over Carl?
Well, that's an interesting thing about, you know, gender norms, etc. Because I usually have these two pictures. I'm comparing these two. Imagine for a moment that you would be informed that you had a new CEO, and it was the man to the left. What expectations would you have of him? And compare that to what expectations would you have to the woman to the right as your new CEO. You would probably have different perceptions on how that person would be. And also if you would be in the position of an employer, without having met that person, your mind probably categorizes that person. And that categorization is affected by your past experiences of people belonging to that category. And yes, we have unconscious bias. I have unconscious bias, and I know you have it, because look at these two pictures. You're looking at the same person, and I bet that you have different feelings or expectations on how these two people would behave in work. And that's the same thing with skin color and the sexual orientation and functional variation. So to answer the question, I would probably have hired Caroline, but being a man growing up by men, I would have needed much more confidence and much more references, preferably by men I trust, to feel confident about myself. Caroline transgender, I would be, to be honest, quite wary, because my prejudice would probably be that would be a person, you know, mentally imbalanced, or, I mean, lots of medical issues around it. Can we really afford to have such a person on a senior position, blah, blah, blah. I would be aware simply to protect myself, because that would be my self-interest, to protect myself.
Okay. So now working as a woman in the same company,
yeah,
literally a day later, was there a different relationship or rapport with your female colleagues? Did they reach out to you more? Did they say, listen, we've been talking about this for a while, no one's listening, will you listen to me now? Was that
that's a funny thing, because I genuinely thought that the story would stop here and I would just live happily thereafter as myself. But the thing is that if you would ask me as Carl 5 years ago to come here on stage to talk about gender equality and the situation for women in business, I would have done so with great confidence, the same confidence I could deliver my quarterly reports on. It only took me a few months to live as a woman to realize how wrong I'd been, how little I had understood about this. And it was not because I myself was treated differently, because I still had my CEO privileged business card. It was because the women around me included in the female community, and they told me stories they hadn't told me before. It was like how difficult the jargon was, the jokes that were made that were in fact not at all that funny, how difficult it was to make your voice heard in meetings, how difficult it was to influence decisions in meetings which seemingly had been made by some guys already before the meeting, how difficult it was to make a career. And also got trustworthy testimony of sexual harassment committed by men close to me at a previous employer. And if someone had asked me back then, would I have vouched for my male colleagues, I would have done so with great confidence because I trusted them. But the testimony were very trustworthy. And asked them, why didn't you tell me all of this before? We had so many opportunities, so many one-on-one meetings. I thought I asked the right questions. And they were like, but don't you see, you were a man at that time. You would not have understood. If I would have come to you with all of this stuff, you would see me as a complaining person, not being strong enough to be in business. And at first I thought that it can't be. I mean, but then I realized that they were probably right, because
What were the signs you missed
I, as a guy, growing up in the schoolyards, in the military, and never show weakness, I thought that business is tough. You need to be tough to be in business, and therefore I just carried on being a rather dominant figure and missed all those small things, like for example how we judge women on how they look in business. I, as a man, being on stage, I never felt the pressure of mind my dressing or my grooming, whether I shaved or not, whether my shirt was ironed or not. I could just be myself. Mm-hmm. But I realized how we judge one another, how we judge women based on how they look. I feel the pressure myself. My morning routine does take quite some much longer time. And most
important, mine is very short.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because back in the days, I noticed that many women seemingly put a lot of effort in it. I thought it was their vanity thing. I never really cared myself. I do care because I know that I'm being judged on how I look. That's daily privileges. Hmm. But to answer your questions, what were the signs I looked? I genuinely thought we had a level playing field. I know I have many conversations with my wife about equality, but she was very angry with me because she didn't seem to make me understand. I genuinely thought everyone had the same striking chance. I was aware of us having, a disproportionate amount of men on senior levels in business, but I genuinely thought it was a consequence of people making rational choices based on the same preconditions.
So what, apart from we've officially established that baldness is a privilege, what were the other privileges that you now see were white male heterosexual privileges?
Networks. How we support one another.
Okay.
And because I started thinking, what has helped me in my career as a man, and networks came pretty high on the list. I challenge you, everyone in the audience, to think about what networks do you have, what groups of people do you have that you can rely upon, that you can call on for support, that has helped you in your career. And I'm an avid photographer, and I collect photographs. And here are a selection of my networks. First of all, we in the military, in the cadet school, we who quite literally were in the trenches together. Upper right corner, that has actually a picture of the McKinsey & Company Financial Institutions Leadership Team back in 1995. We who were advising the top CEOs in the Stockholm financial community, a very homogeneous team of management consultants. We looked the same, we shared the same jokes, we hang out together, an invincible team back then. Bottom left corner, that was actually an executive team of an insurance company where I worked. Back in those days, there were no women on that executive team, which had the obvious benefit of us not having to compromise on choice of team activity. We could we could do what we wanted. Bottom right corner, the Freemason Lodge of Stockholm, where I spent quite some considerable time, I say, in my free time. I never really reflected upon how I spent my time interacting in networks back then. I thought, I mean, this is just how society is. What's the problem? We live in a free world, don't we? Looking at these pictures in the eyes of a woman, I kind of realized, where are the women? There were none. Where are the people of color? There were none. As far as I know, everyone here was heterosexual. At least they didn't say anything else. Then I realized what kind of a white, male, heterosexual bubble have I been living in without reflecting upon it. And the next mental experiment would be, would a woman feel comfortable in any of these settings? Or a person of color? Well, I kind of remember the jokes we made back in the days in the military, us fine as guys in the hunting trip, jokes that were laughed at, jokes that I laughed at. Not because they were funny, but because I wanted to be part of the gang. I wanted to show personal loyalty. I wanted to reaffirm the other guys. I'm deeply ashamed why I laughed at those jokes back then. But I wasn't stronger back then. Mm-hmm. And then I reflected, and this is an important part, have these networks have professional implications for me? And of course they have. Because these are the guys that I trust. If any one of those would call me for a favor, I would help him. And I know that I could call any of these and ask for a favor, and I know he would help me. And we have helped one another. Then I ask women of my tenure, are there similar set of female networks? I have not yet come across a professional woman of my tenure who can demonstrate the same set of networks. Then I realize what it is I'm looking at. I'm looking at privilege. White, male, heterosexual privilege, a structure that I've been part of, a structure that has benefited me in my career. So would I have reached my position as CEO if I would have lived my life as a woman my entire life? I'm not so sure. I would like to think that thought because, I have my degrees and intrinsics, but it would have come at a much higher cost, I realize. And that's the unfortunate thing, because we lose so much talent along the way. I mean, we've had many women graduating from business school for quite a amount of years, but somehow they drop off along the ladder. And that's what I hear them telling me when I meet them. It's like a feeling of swimming against the tide, or a strange feeling that it somehow goes easier if you're a man. But you can't point at something. A lot of women I've talked to have start having self-doubts. It is a privileged structure that I've been part of, and that is self-reinforcing. Why? Because if I would appoint a senior member of my management team or a board director, who would I appoint? Well, I would be mindful that if that recruitment went wrong, I would be to blame. So I would play it safe, recruit someone I would trust. Who would I trust, Owen? Someone from my
Somebody
network.
Somebody in the mirror. Yeah.
This would be my palette. I know HR would tell me, look at the diverse list of candidates. I would do that to tick the boxes. But in my reptile brain, I would recruit someone from my network.
So when we first struck up a dialogue, it was based on an article last year that was the best thing I read all year. And it was called, you can Google it, guys. It's great. Here's what I learned being a CEO in finance, both as a woman and as a man.
Yes.
So when you reflect now, 5 years almost as a woman, a career as a man, what do you think are the big three or four differences that you've experienced?
Well, my conclusion is that we in business have several social structures. You can't see them on paper, but they exist there. Social structures that are once made by men and for men many years ago in our financial community. And now we say that everyone is welcome to populate those structures, women, people of color, everyone. But the structures remain the same. It's like inviting everyone to a game of football, and you convince yourself that the playground is fair, you have an impartial judge, the same set of rules, but if one team always play an away game and the other team always play the home game, who will win? Who will endure? Mm. What we need to do is understand the norms and biases that affects daily life, the privileges that you have if you belong to the norm. And only if you engage those who are belonging to the privileged group, we can achieve. I mean, it makes no use spending money to employee resource groups or various minorities unless you engage those who are privileged. And I, as a CEO, my big revelation was that it took me a gender transition to understand the difference between diversity and inclusion. Because when this D&I thing came along when I was a CEO, it was like, I mean, give me the metrics and I would deliver on that thing also. Because, I mean, I could deliver solid quarterly reports and I could deliver KPIs also. So what was it? I mean, I need to have a gender-balanced leadership team. Yes, I had 5 men and 5 women on my team. And yes, the women were head of HR, legal, risk management, compliance, and, you know, the guys were the business lines because, I mean, after all, that was a business, right? But I could deliver on the KPIs. I was so cocky. I was showing the picture in my annual report and the social media and to anyone who would listen. I genuinely thought I was home free. And that inclusion thing, that was so vague, there were no KPIs associated with it, so I thought I could probably wing it if I'm being questioned on stage, and, you know.
Do you actually, if on reflection, do you actually now dislike who Carol was?
No, because I was genuinely unaware.
Okay.
It was unconscious. So I genuinely back then thought I was doing the right thing, but I realized I simply didn't get it.
Okay. So today, mm-hmm. having experienced all that, your day job is yes. a venture capitalist.
Yes.
You invest in pre-seed startups.
Yes.
How has all of your experience fed into your now professional life?
Yeah.
We heard a lot this morning about ESG
yeah.
and DEI.
Yeah.
How does that mix work for you
in your professional life? It's very much fueled by my insights as a CEO, because when I, as a CEO, realize that inclusion is the thing that matters. And inclusion, what is it? It's actually a culture that makes everyone feel that they can be themselves and belong at work. Back then, I had women in my executive team, but it was a bit for show so that I could look good. I rarely listened to them. I listened unconsciously only to the guys who I could relate to, who looked like myself, who talked like myself. I now realize that I didn't use the talent in the team. Because diversity, like hiring people with diverse abilities and categories and have them on the employee roster, yes, it looks good in the ESG report. But if you don't use that talent in your team, you won't be successful. When I, together with my team, spearheaded to have an inclusive culture, making a culture where everyone could contribute, everyone could be listened to, and we used the talents we had, we made a much more successful business. That led me to the insight that inclusive culture leads to better businesses based on having a diverse set of people. Translating into my job as a partner of a venture capital firm, we invest in seed stage companies, and usually the founding teams are quite small. They haven't got their mind or the minds across finding out on ESG. We educate them on ESG, especially on the S in ESG, where D&I is of paramount importance. Because we rarely, if ever, invest in all white male founder teams, because we know that diverse founder teams brings better businesses. So we go tell them, go hire some more talent to your founding team of the category unlike yourself. Because we know that diverse teams make better decisions. And we also know that if you don't get your head around ESG and D&I right from the beginning of a company journey, it's very difficult to change that afterwards. You need to get it into the DNA of your
business. The grassroots right.
Yeah, because you might be unrelevant in the future. You might even be uninvestable for later investment rounds unless you start right from the beginning.
Can I move to a current topic, which is the area of pronouns?
Yes.
Which I find confusing myself, if I'm very honest. I've read, I've tried to educate myself, but I'm terrified of using them because I don't want to inadvertently cause offence. So what would you say on that topic?
Well, on that topic, I mean, if you're slightly unsure about how to address a person or how to relate to a person, ask that person. Because I remember myself when I was approached with a person who was diverse in a certain manner, I played safe and made an excuse of not having to interact with that person, fearing of doing something wrong or saying something wrong. Whereas being a diverse person myself, what I would like is if someone came forward to say, excuse me, I really not used to this, or I really would like to learn. How would you like to be addressed? Or how would you like to be treated? I'm willing to learn.
So be straight up.
Yeah, be straight.
I think it's interesting. Ironically, the fear around using or embracing pronouns is arguably causing exclusion rather than inclusion.
Yes.
So it's great to have that insight. Can I move to your personal life?
Yes.
Right. So throughout your journey for the last 5 years, you remain married to your wife.
Yes.
Your three children have been very embracing. It's an extraordinary component of the journey, I think, and a wonderful one that you're still in a loving nuclear family. So can you share some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it truly is a difficult journey for the entire family if a family member goes through a journey that I've done. And communication is of paramount importance. I'm fortunate to belong to the minority of transgender people in a family who have actually managed to stay in a family. And it requires a ton of communication, lots of accommodation. And the positive experience is that my children, 5 years ago, they were 12 and 7, took it as a non-issue. When we had the big talk, my wife and I gathered our three children, 12 and 7 at that time, and they said that, you know, I explained my story, I will now start live as a woman, what do you think about that? They were like, completely cool, that's okay, can I have another cake? And one asked them, okay, well, that was fine. What would you like to call me? Am I now your mom or dad? You're a dad, of course. Okay. Well, that when I go to school on meeting for parents and I introduce myself as my kid's dad, those parents who don't know me might give me a second look, but we're completely cool about it. So I've actually came out with an autobiography, only available in Swedish. The subtitle is Business Woman and Family Father.
Last night, there was lots of moments of edification for me last night in what we discussed, but we talked about identity versus activity versus sexuality and the difference between transvestite, transgender, and whether you now identify as a lesbian, still married to your wife. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, when I finally gave in, I started to experiment, what is this thing about femininity? The big question is, was it an activity for me to present myself as a woman? and or was it all the way into my identity? And that is the difference between transgender and transvestite. Transvestite is someone who uses, likes it as an activity, almost like playing a theater, or whereas transgender, that's when it's all the way to your identity, like who you are. And for me, it became quite apparent. I am a woman, therefore that makes me a transgender, which has obviously quite more practical implications. But I'm very happy that we live in a society when you can actually do this and be respected for it.
So we have a room full of leaders, aspiring leaders, future leaders in the... What's your big message to them?
Dear guests, we have a big problem in our financial community, and that's gender equality. And it's not because of a sustainability issue, it's because we know that diversity brings better business. We lose talent today. And inclusion is a way of making businesses better. Inclusion is a culture that needs to be led from the top. And many of you are influential leaders, so it's all about you. I want you to decide what your role will be in that journey. Because unless you're part of the solution, chances are you're unconsciously part of the problem. Commit yourself to diversity and inclusion. Decide what your role will be. Educate yourself. And then drive the positive change. Because it is a thing for the future. Businesses will be irrelevant unless you get your head around this.
Okay.
And live as yourself, allow others to live as they are. Because after all, Owen, we're all human beings and we're all equally worth.
Wonderful. I have a small gift for you. and this is... It's by a Danish artist, so just shortly over the border from where you live. And it's a map of Ireland, so that you remember Irish funds are the best funds in the world. But it's made up of a collage of different women. And it's entitled Manana Héireann, which is the Irish for the women of Ireland. So Mar ban in Éireann a mask Manana Héireann tá de scéala chalúra, going, as a woman in Ireland amongst the women of Ireland, we celebrate your story. Now, having said all that, this isn't for you. This is for your good lady wife and your three children.
Ah, thank you very much.
Because I think without their support, I don't think we'd be having this conversation today. And I think there's the authentic self story that you've been taking me on a journey on for the last number of weeks has been fascinating, and I've learned so much. But within that, I think there's an authenticity in love that your family have embraced the person rather than the vessel. So this is for them.
Thank you.
Caroline Farbiger.